Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG 13.
Zach Wilson, quarterback, BYU.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by a special guest today, repeat guest. Anyone who's not familiar with Legere Duzival, I'm not sure what you're doing, SNY. I'm an athlete, 7 to 9, I believe, Channel 82 on Mad Dog Radio. It's a really good time, something, you know, freshly new, but something you should definitely check out. How are we doing today?
I'm good, Will. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's in New York area. I know, you get your Florida fix in, but New York, it's actually nice out for once. So
it's hot down here.
And in the wise words of Charles McDonald, is it time for a beer? I wanted to kind of talk through a little bit. Haven't had you on since obviously the draft and kind of the offseason, at least the second to last kind of phase, I guess, of the offseason here before, there'll be one more phase of veterans signing, post June 1 and mini camp as they should. But the Jets obviously had an awesome draft in terms of getting top quality players, at least on my board. And I know they were higher on your board as well. From just an overall perspective, they've had a very busy offseason. They had a very busy draft. What was kind of your takeaway from the draft as a whole? Did one thing stand out to you, or was it just kind of the combination of adding good players?
You're talking about specifically to the Jets.
Yeah, just for the Jets. Like, what was your kind of takeaway? Because they were much more aggressive than I think some people were expecting, at least. They thought, maybe they'll trade back.
I knew they were about to be crazy. to me, it was a change of narrative type draft, right? Now, I think a lot of Jet fans have felt kind of somber once the schedule release came out. The Jets do have a gauntlet to start the season, but I think there's a lot of excitement, and rightfully so. If you look at what the Jets did with their first four picks, they essentially maybe got the best player at each one of their positions, right? Garrett Wilson was the number one receiver on my board, a guy I thought was the most pro-ready receiver coming into the league. A guy plays, you hear guys say this all the time, he plays bigger than his stature, but this guy literally plays bigger than his stature. Physical guy, high catches the ball. He's going to free up Elijah Moore so much where you won't have to just put Elijah Moore in the slot because Garrett Wilson is going to be in the slot as well. So it'll be interesting to see how Mike LaFleur really employs those two receivers together, right? Because I honestly didn't think they were going to take Garrett Wilson, even though I thought he was the most pro-ready. I just thought he did too much of the same similar things that Elijah Moore does. But I mean, you want to get good players on your team, right? That's how you turn the roster around. It's all about having players that can go out there and make plays and having good playmakers. And then you talk about Sauce Gardner, the first pick they took. I know a lot of people, and even I was surprised by that. And I think Robert Saleh came out and said it perfect. There's always been some precedent, when it comes to that system that he, portrays on defense, that there's not a high, value on taking corners high in the draft, right? He kind of said that's not true. Like, we want guys more specifically on third down, and this system has kind of been tinkered with, right? It's changed over the years, even from when I was playing it in 2017, where they played mostly zone, right? But now on third down, Robert Saleh likes to heat it up and blitz, and you have to be able to win on third down, not just in pass rush, but when you're on the island as a corner. And there was no better corner doing that than Sauce Gardner in this last draft class. So it's a big boost. I mean, him, DJ Reed, I mean, I guess we could talk about, you know, what's going to happen with Hall now, Bryce Hall at corner position, because, you know, Brandon Echols still there, Michael Carter still there, Javelin Guidry still there. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have. But if you're Bryce Hall, you're a guy that was, I believe, top four or top five in pass breakups last year. You're like the odd man looking in now. So it'll be interesting to see what the Jets do there. Jermaine Johnson, I mean, what more can I say? This guy was the perfect fit for Robert Saleh's defense. He literally plays with the mantra, all gas, no breaks. Effort's not an issue with this guy. To me, was the best run defender on the edge in this draft class. Just plays with heavy hands and violent hands in the run game. And then in this pass rush game, I think, to me, he was just coming into his own. Like, he just kind of learned how to rush last year, and it's because he got more opportunity, right? He left Georgia, went to Florida State, went from playing about right under 30% of the snaps to over 60% of the snaps. And we saw him coming to his own leading up to the Senior Bowl, where he was just dominant, so much so where he left after only 2 days at the Senior Bowl. Bryce Hall, and I think this one kind of surprised everybody, right? Because you can get good value as far as value of running backs in the third, fourth round is usually where you find that great value. Michael Carter is a perfect example of that last year. I had him as a, you know, third round, even late second round back, and they got him in the fourth round. But, you know, Breece Hall was the best running back in this draft class. You talk about a workhorse. This is what this guy does. I believe over 56 touchdowns. Like, that's absurd. And, you know, people worried about his speed, ran, you know, in the 4.3s at the combine. So speed is not an option. I mean, not an issue. And catching the ball in the backfield is big, right, in Mike LaFleur's system. This guy has soft hands, can catch the ball in the backfield. And then, you know, pass protection, blitz pickup. This guy will stick his face in there. He will take on linebackers. He will chop down linebackers. So that's massive and monumental in this system as well. So they just did an amazing job. And then even, you know, Max Mitchell, I love that pick, right? I think he has the potential to be a really good starting right tackle. You know, Mekhi Becton's coming back from injury. If something should happen there, I'm not saying Max Mitchell is going to be ready this year, but maybe towards the end of the year, he is ready. Like, I think he's a really good pick. And they got him in the fourth round. We know how we feel about Jeremy Ruckert. I mean, what else can we say about this kid? I just think he, you know, it was destined for him to be a New York Jet. You know, grew up a Jet fan, I believe, from Long Island. Coach Ron Middleton, who coached the Senior Bowl, right? Because the assistant coaches coached the Senior Bowl, just loved everything about Jeremy Ruckert. He loved his physicality. I think he's going to be a better pro than he was college player because, as we know, Ohio State has a ton of receivers, so they didn't really get him the ball in the passing game like that. But this guy is a muddy, dirty, gritty player that, you know, on those, you know, split zone plays where he has to come back and block the defensive end, he's gonna fit it up in there. He can be a lead blocker, right? So if you want to go 12 or even 13 personnel, right, you can put him in the backfield and he could be a lead blocker for you. And then he has, you know, he's really good athletically, right? I don't think a lot of people give him enough credit for that. His athletic ability to be able to separate at the top of the route, he has soft hands as well too. And then he can turn it over. The kid can run. So, like, I mean, you know how we feel about Jeremy Ruckert. We love that kid. And then the Clemens pick, I mean, I think it was a surprise because I don't know what's going to happen at the edge position on our team.
It's like 800 people.
Literally, like, last year, everybody was complaining we don't have enough. Now we may have too many. I think you can never have enough because injuries always happen. We saw that last year with Carl Lawson. So Carl Lawson's coming back, John Franklin Myers. And I'm going to let Jet Nation know he will be at in on first and second down. Stop trying to kick that man inside, man. Like, he's going to be able to kick inside more because of the abundance of edge players we have now, right? And I think it'll bode well for him because talking to him, and I talk to John at least once every week or once every 2 weeks. He's more comfortable rushing over the guard using his athletic ability and his power. But there was no better edge defender for the Jets last year in the run game than John Flynn. Like, if you would have kicked him inside, y'all thought the Jets run defense was bad before, it would have been 10 times worse if he wasn't on the edge last year. So trust, he's going to be, him and Michael Clemens will be edge, you know, big ends on first and second down. All right. So I just want to quell that because everybody's like, we can just kick him inside. And I love Jermaine, right? And it'll be interesting to see, you know, depending on where Carl is. I know I've been talking to Carl. He's been down here with my physical therapist, Sharif Tabah, training and getting right. He'll be ready for the season, but it'll be interesting to see who comes out in base, right? Will it be Jermaine and John Franklin Myers and like kind of like D Ford was in the 2019 season where Bosa got drafted and they like kind of slowly bring along, you know, Carl Lawson? Or will they start Carl Lawson and John Franklin Myers and then bring Jermaine in and he'd be the swing guy? Because I think Jermaine is the one guy that can play Leo, which is the open side end, and he can play the big end as well because his physical traits and how physical he is in the run game. But again, this was just a really great draft class. It'll be interesting to see how the Jets, you know, turn over this season, you know, because they started off with a gauntlet. And I've been talking for a while, so I'll let you get in here, Will.
Nah, so a couple of things. Part of why I was happy with the Jets draft, and I know like we both talked to a lot of people in the building, and it was like,
yeah,
there's a lot of times there's smoke and there's a lot of things where it's like, oh, we want to do this, we want to do this. And it's like the Jets have done that for a long time. They don't really do it, right? They kind of like, oh, we want to add playmakers. And it's like they convince, you know, you get convinced that the third round, our Darius Stewart comes out and it's like, that's the guy. Oh, Chad Hansen, right? Guy. Right. Yeah. And it's like, oh, he's a steal. Like Garrett Wilson, I thought Drake London and Garrett Wilson would be a great fit. Again, Garrett Wilson playing bigger than he is. And I think what sold him is that he was the smartest receiver in the draft. Everyone that talks about Garrett Wilson, unbelievable football IQ. And I think the Jets have PTSD from last year of a lot of different guys, specifically, obviously one guy who couldn't play all the spots. And I think that's a huge problem for them. And this offense is complex. Aaron Rodgers said it took him 2 or 3 years to figure out this offense fully. Like, if you think that's difficult, right, and he's one of the smart, again, another genius football player, you want to have smart guys. So that's one thing. I think the Sauce pick is awesome. I didn't love the Sauce pick at 4 without knowing they were going to get an edge. And once they got the edge, it made Sauce at 4 awesome. Like, I think he's a really good player. I think he's going to be a really good player, and it's perfect for this team. But it's perfect because they also added edge as well and receiver. So it was kind of this, like, individually, you could look at all three of those picks and go, ooh, maybe they should have added something else, right?
So perfect example, and you were probably watching, I don't know if you were watching, you're probably on Twitter too, yeah. Steve Gelbs, right? Me and him do pre and post, and we did the draft show for the Jets. When the Garrett Wilson pick and the Sauce Gardner pick came out, we were kind of, he was courting me, and I was like, it's all right. And I was talking to our guy, Connor Rogers, right? We were both, you know, he was doing Bleacher Report. I was doing the Jets draft show. And we were texting back and forth. And we were like, But when they got, like you said, when they got the trade up and got Jermaine, we were like, this is an amazing draft, right?
Yeah.
Because it puts everything into perspective. Like, I get it, right? At the number 4 pick. And this is what I was trying to tell everybody before the draft. Like, there's no surefire all-stars in this draft, right? A lot of good players, they're going to have a long career, but, you know, there were no Nick Bosa's in this draft, right? There were no Von Miller's. There were no Garrett, you know, Miles Garrett's. But I think at the number 4 spot, and, you know, teams weren't really trying to trade up until around that 10 range. And that's when we saw like a galore of trade ups because people were trying to get receivers, O-linemen, and things of that nature. I think the Sauce pick, I think, was the safest bet pick, right? And though a lot of people, like me, thought Ikem Ekwonu would be a really safe pick. But it seems like it felt like the Jets wanted to go with a pick. There was, you know, some typical need. Now, it wasn't great need there, but, you know, they maybe thought there was more need there than maybe at the O-line position with, you know, Mekhi Becton coming back. And maybe they just felt that, you know, Sauce Gardner was the safest pick. So I agree with that, you know, train of thought, right? Because to me, Sauce Gardner was the number 1 corner. I know Stingley, you know, went before him and, you know, all the attributes. And the thing is, if you can get freshman Derek Stingley, then obviously it's a no-brainer. And I love Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
But Derek Stingley has a higher upside than Sauce Gardner. Like, if he's truly himself from his freshman year when they won the national championship, that's just a big if, right? That was the question mark with him. But as far as just the tape and what we've seen the last few years, to me, Sauce Gardner was the number 1 corner. And so I get why they picked him, right? It was the safest pick. You know, you're getting a corner that's going to be there for the next, you know, 8 to 10 years. He's going to be your guy that's going to be on the island. And the thing I would also mention is, like, don't sleep on DJ Reed. Like, this guy is an ultimate competitor. Like, I love watching his film. And this is a guy, and I don't know if a lot of people remember, I tabbed the Jets. If they couldn't get Carlton Davis, I said, DJ Reed is a name you need to watch, right? He's familiar with the system. Salah loves him. He's an ultimate competitor. Yes, he's only about 5'9", but he literally has like a 36 or 38-inch vertical. So this guy, like, just turn on the Green Bay film versus him and Davante Adams. That was a hell of a film to watch. Like, Davante got him a few times, but he got right back up and got in Davante a few times too. So Sauce Gardner, I think, was just a safe pick. Same thing with Garrett Wilson, right? I think Salah was telling the truth. If Atlanta had taken Garrett Wilson, I think Jermaine Johnson would have been the pick at 10. And that's where he was always tabbed, right? You know, I thought maybe he could be the pick at four, honestly. And I believe the Jets loved him that much, they would consider taking him at the number four spot. But I think they felt just a little bit more comfortable taking him at the number 10. But with Garrett Wilson still on the board after Drake London went at number eight, I think they were just trying to make sure they got enough playmakers for Zach Wilson. And to me, Garrett Wilson was the cleanest receiver in this draft class. So I understand it and 100% get it. And he plays the game physical. He blocks down the field, which is big in the run game. Again, goes up and gets the ball at the high point. He's going to free up Elijah Moore a lot more, who to me is going to be the number one receiver on this team. And the Jermaine thing was just, that was a blessing from God. I think people don't understand too, like from the number five pick when Kayvon Thibodeau went, and I know you and Connor were higher on him than I was. He actually went to the perfect system. So he actually might thrive really well, right? Because
a lot of these guys did, I think.
Yeah, like
He went to the perfect system. Drake in Atlanta with that he's not gonna be AJ Brown. I'm just saying that big physical receiver. That's what Arthur Smith wants. He wants these guys, like him and Pitts. No one's guarding him and Pitts when they have a quarterback. You can't match up with that.
You got two big receivers now. Like, I mean, Pitts is essentially a receiver. You know, so they got two monster receivers. So you take about Kayvon Thibodeau going to Wink Martindale system, right? What's he gonna ask him to do? What he does well, just get off the ball and go. He's not going to ask him to win, you know, on third and long. He's going to blitz every play. So he's literally going to be asked to do what he did at Oregon, win with speed, right? So that's all he's going to have to do. That was my biggest fear for him, going to a system where it's a 4-3 system where they're going to ask him to rush and win on third down. I was like, I don't think he can do that on a consistent basis, but where they're going to ask him to just go and just win with speed on the edge and not have to make inside moves. He's going to thrive in that.
No, I think it's interesting. So, and I have a question for you on the KT and Sauce thing in a second, but no, I think, you know, look, the Jermaine stuff is, he's a hard player to discuss because I think he's one of these guys that I think anyone who watches baseball, I'm a diehard baseball fan. There's certain players who analytics and film don't always line up. And it's like this constant battle when in reality, there's probably a point to both, right? Is Jermaine, you know, if he can continue to improve his pass rush win rate and pressures. Yes, it's obviously huge, but at the end of the day, me and DJ talk about this all the time, and I know you guys talk about it. Like, you got to finish the play. Carl Lawson has never had a 10-sack season. I love Carl. Yeah. I think he might be – Trey Hendrickson's had back-to-back 15-sack seasons, and whether you like it or not, that's
Jets,
what matters.
The Jets will never – that debate will go on forever because they were tabbed together, and supposedly I've heard through the grapevine Trey wanted to come here.
Yeah,
but the Jets wanted Carl instead. So, like, they're going to, no matter what, and I think Carl knows that. He's self-aware. Like, damn, you know, this guy is coming off, I think, 15 sacks and then had another 15 sacks.
Same exact dollars.
And I told people that. Yeah, same exact dollar amount. I told us, everybody was like, Trey's a one-hit wonder. I said, nah, go watch the film. This dude going to continue to cook. Like, he just got his opportunity because Marcus Davenport was hurt, right? They literally drafted Marcus Davenport because they knew Trey was going to leave in free agency, and Trey had issues like Carl staying healthy before, right? So now you got two back-to-back years, and I think he's going to continue to thrive. But I honestly think Carl's going to have a bounce back year and a big year this year as well.
I think they're going to – you were mentioning it before. Me and Dee were talking about this on the other pod, that who's much more likely a 10-sack season for Carl or Elijah getting to 1,000 yards. And I said Carl because – I mean, I said Elijah because Carl, I think they're going to – like the Jets know – if they want to make kind of – they want the season to go the way they want. They need Carl firing late in the year when they're trying to compete for 8, 9, 10, whatever it is. I don't know, whatever. We'll see what they get to. Yeah. But they have enough around on that D-line now that they don't have to rush him back, which is huge. Mm-hmm. They can kind of slow work him through camp. Maybe he plays 40% of the snaps against Baltimore and eases his way in as opposed to being a 65% snap guy early on. I want to talk about the Breece Hall pick quickly, but I wanted to ask you this because I was thinking about this. KT and Sauce are both very loud in their own way. And I think they're very different. KT is very just like a very loud person, even if he doesn't say a lot. And Sauce isn't like a trash talker against other people. He just like he's very self-confident. And I think both are important, especially when you play defense. You have to be corners way too hard to play and not be almost borderline arrogant at times. Do you worry at all being in the New York market where these guys are putting such a spotlight on themselves early on, or is it like, whatever, like just that's awesome. It's a good swagger to have early on in your career. I know it's a weird question, but like,
no. I think you just have to be self-aware, right? When you proclaim this. And Sauce, again, at the cornerback position, you have to have that type of confidence, right? So it's not like he just trash talks anybody. He just has a lot of confidence in himself.
Yeah.
And that's something he's going to need in New York, because if he ever gets beat one or two times, they're gonna try to drag him in the paper. So he's got to be comfortable in who he is and confident in who he is. KT's always just been outspoken, right? I never had an issue with him being outspoken. Like, anybody knows me, I've talked about this, you know, at length. My issue was game film. Like, I had issues with him with his game film. Being outspoken, I don't have an issue with that. I think he's very self-aware, and he's very smart. He articulates really well. He knows that if he doesn't ball, like, all the stuff that he's talking about doesn't mean jack shit.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Like, his branding, like, that means nothing. And in New York, the New York area is very unforgiving, right? Like, they'll love you today, but tomorrow you mess up, they're going to trash you in the papers. So I think they're both very confident in who they are. But I think they know at the end of the day, like, if they don't go out there and ball and they continue to talk, it could be a long career for them.
Yeah, it's just like one of those things. I always, like, I was a big trash talker, and I get it. It's just sometimes I'm always curious. Like,
yeah.
Darrell Revis is never going to walk through any locker room ever again, and I think Darrell is one of those guys that, like, could talk trash by just, like, staring you in the face so much.
Yeah,
like,
he wasn't a big trash talker. He would just, like, stare you down.
Yeah, where, like, Jalen Ramsey is as big of a trash talker as you'll find. So it's like, and this game backs it up. And I think Sauce obviously loves Jalen Ramsey if you, like, watch a lot of the stuff on him. I wanted to ask you quickly about the Breece Hall thing, because running backs are – the discourse around running backs sucks. I think it's one of the most frustrating discourses in all of sports right now. John, like, here's why I think I have no problem with the Jets taking running back where they did. A, I don't think their running back room is actually very good. I think it was Michael Carter, and it was a bunch of guys that probably won't be on the roster.
100%. I mean, we always knew. I was surprised they didn't bring in a vet. Now, I know they signed Tevin Coleman, but I was surprised they didn't bring a vet.
Me too.
Routinely healthy. And then we talked about Melvin Gordon, and then, you know, everybody was like, well, that's why he got $6 million. I was like, nah, I want to see what the real numbers are. And I think it was like 2.5 or 3. And
he's,
like,
not getting a lot of money.
No. I'm like, the Jets could have paid it. This is a 1,000-yard back year in and year out. Like, why wouldn't we pay that?
always healthy. And then, like, they gave up a fifth-round pick and whatever. Like, the hit rate on fifth-round picks is, like, I think it's, like, 4% of these guys. It's so stupid.
You're giving up nothing, really.
Yeah, you're giving up nothing. Yeah. Salah talked about having that home run hitter. And John Benton is famously on the record for saying, like, a good O-line is nothing without a good running back, because they need to, like, if you haven't played football, I think sometimes it's easy to be like, oh, running backs miss holes all the time. And 100%. It's a huge issue. And there's guys, like, it's my biggest issue with Saquon Barkley other than pass pro, is there's so many times where Saquon could just get 4 yards and he won't do it.
He won't do it.
And Breece Hall
for the home run.
Breece Hall is a home run hitter in a sense, but he's also, like, just, like, a good running back. Like, I think it's important. Michael Carter struggled to stay healthy last year. I think he showed in college when he was best. He is the 1B that, like, comes 100%. In. He's change of pace. He's really hard to tackle. He's elusive. All these different things. That's great. Unblock me on Twitter. I don't know why I'm blocked on Twitter. I've never said anything but good things about you, Mike. So
he blocked you?
Yeah, I tweeted. I don't know. I think he probably searched his name and maybe I said something. I don't know. It's the only guy that everyone else I talked to on the team.
Let me talk to my guy, man.
Yeah. Okay. Get me unblocked, man. But no, like, I think Breece Hall is going to be an impact back right away. He's 20 years old. I think we look at, like, the Jets could get 4 really good years out of Breece Hall, and the rest is just gravy. But, like, I know there was the argument of, like, he would have to be a top 10 running back in the league to justify getting picked there. Like, why couldn't he be that? You know what I mean? Like, right. So why couldn't he just be that? And that's worth it. This offense values running backs too. I don't know. It's just, yeah.
I think that the important thing to remember, and I love Michael Carter and everything he brings to the table. I love that he's hard. The first guy never brings him down. Right. But to your point, right. They tried to make him the lead back last year and he got dinged up. Going back to North Carolina, he wasn't the lead back. Javonte Williams was, like, he was the 1B. And that's not a knock on Michael Carter. He's just never been the workhorse guy. Well, Breece Hall is the definition of a workhorse running back. So now you got a guy that is, you know, stood up and been tested time and time again, constantly has answered the bell. He knows he's going to get a stack box against him week in and week out. And even if he can't affect the game by running the ball, he can do it in the pass catching game, right? He can do it in pass protection. There's so many ways that Breece Hall can, you know, affect the game. And, you know, in this system, it's always kind of been backed by committee. There usually isn't just one guy that takes off. I mean, I know a lot of people talk a lot about Deebo Samuels, but I think they forget what Elijah Mitchell did for that San Francisco 49er team last year. This guy almost had 1,000 yards and I think missed 4 or 5 games. Like, that's absurd. He was averaging like close to 20 carries a game. He was their workhorse there. So I think Breece Hall can be something like that. And I think his first year, it'll be like 50-50. Him and Michael will split the carries down the middle, which I think rightfully so is justified. But I think Breece Hall, you know, ends up separating from Michael Carter eventually and becomes the number one back. And, you know, maybe Michael Carter becomes the third down guy.
Yeah, it's look, there's worse things to have than depth at these different positions. The Jets have not had depth in a long time. And I think we always talk about football's not about your first 22. Yeah, it's about whoever's under center. But it's not about your first 22. It's like, is your roster 35 deep? Can you sustain pulled hamstring? Not just the season-ending ones. Can you sustain a four-week stretch where someone pulls a hamstring or someone sprains an ankle and you don't have them, but you can still be league average at that spot? I wanted to get into the schedule and we'll finish with that. But from a Zach perspective, I've personally been impressed, and I know everyone in the building I've talked to is impressed with him, like, owning this offseason in a way of, like, I actually give a fuck. And I think people last year, there was questions a little bit about, like, do you want to be Hollywood or do you want to be great? Like, what are you here for? And that's natural with any quarterback. This is not a Zach specific thing because he's a pretty boy from youth. Like, it's nothing to do with that. It's like people ask the same questions about all these guys, right? They asked about Trevor Lawrence. They asked about all these guys. Yeah. Zach going around and not just like, oh, I'm hosting something. Come here if you want to hang out and throw. Like, going around and actually, again, putting in the work on the field and like showing you want to own this locker room, I think is something that's super important. And B, I know we can always overreact to how people work out. And yes, you are paid to be in good shape. I cannot reiterate this enough. I hate every offseason when it's like, oh, this guy lost 10 pounds. Like, cool, man. Guess what? I'm trying to lose weight too for my wedding, but you know, I'm not asking for compliments, right? But Zach actually putting on weight and showing like, this is a part of my game. People had question marks. Can I physically hold up for 17 weeks? And putting on, especially muscle in your legs, which is people think about your arm as a quarterback. If you're a pitcher or whatever, you need to have torque in your legs and actually power off those legs. So what's been your kind of impressions of Zach coming out of the offseason? And like, is this stuff overblown or does it actually matter from someone that's been in those locker rooms with that?
No, it matters. It goes a long way. I mean, I think that was everybody's, not just mine or many analysts take, we felt like he needed to gain some weight, right, for the rigors of a 17-game season. It's a lot different in college when you're only playing 12 to 13 games and you're done by November, you know, then you have a bowl game. So, but, you know, the season goes to January, mid-January now, and hopefully you go to the playoffs. So now you're talking about late January. So there's rigors. There's, you know, training camp is, what, 2 weeks in college? Month and a half in the NFL. Like, it's totally different, right? And I think a lot of people hit that rookie wall that, you know, everybody talks about and not realizing how much different it is, you know, from college to the NFL game. And just like what you talked about, him taking ownership of this offseason is the biggest thing, right?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You want to see leadership from your quarterback. He hasn't just held, you know, workouts in California and Utah. I mean, he came down to Florida, like, with Elijah, like, and Braxton Berrios. Like, that's amazing. Like, him taking the onus and saying, guys, you know, we're trying to change the narrative of this team. Like, let's get to work early and often. And then him personally putting in the work, right, to reshape his body and get ready. And we saw the athletic ability, right? So, you know, Zach took some vicious hits last year. Putting on, you know, 10 more pounds of muscle is going to really help him, you know, when it comes to taking some of those hits. And we saw that he used more of his athletic ability towards the end of the year, which I was, you know, praying that they do. Now, I don't want them to make a habit of using his legs too much.
Yeah, let's not use him like Cam.
Yeah. I think in the red zone, though, like, there has to be a threat of his athletic ability in his legs, right? Because that gives the defense another person to defend against because he has that athletic ability. So, you know, we saw towards the end of the year, he was really running the ball. He had, he had 4 or 5 rushing touchdowns last year, which was big. Again, in the red zone, that gives the defense pause because now you have to be careful when it comes to containment element, right? You got to make sure this guy stays in the pocket because he's dangerous with his legs. We saw it versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, him take off on a 50-plus yard touchdown run. I think with him carrying that muscle, you know, he'll be able to sustain some hits, maybe shrug a guy off or two. You know, you never know. But I think it's going to help him in the long run. I'm just glad that he's really taking ownership of this offseason, showing you the leadership attributes, right? Because they say the biggest jump in a player is from year one to year two. And we're starting to see that from Zach. Now, you know, he has to go put it all out there on the field because, honestly, the Jets are only going as far as Zach Wilson takes them, right? They've essentially done more for him than they've done for any other quarterback in Jets history as far as surrounding him with playmakers. Offensive line, he should have a barrier in front of him, right? I don't know if any other rookie quarterback or second year quarterback is going to be as comfortable as he should be with the offensive line additions that the Jets have made over the last 3 years, right? So he should, as long as everybody stays healthy, right?
Yeah.
he should have a barrier in front of him, which is going to allow him to be more comfortable in the pocket, right? He won't have to keep drifting back like he did last year. He'll be comfortable, you know, taking that step up in the pocket when that back foot hits, let the ball go. So it's going to be on Zach Wilson this year, right?
Because yeah.
Again, they've added, you know, help the tight end position, 3 new tight ends. Like, who knew the Jets knew what a tight end was? We obviously know what that is now. We got 3 guys that can play any down, first, second, or third down. Offensive line brought in a Pro Bowler and Lincoln Thomas and Elijah Vera Tucker, I think, will be a Pro Bowler soon enough. You talk about George Fant, who played at times at a Pro Bowl caliber level last year. Mekhi Becton, who has the upside of a Pro Bowler. And I know people in Jet Nation kind of, I don't know what it is, they don't like Connor McGovern, but he actually had a really good season last year.
Man, you clap back one time at fans and they're
I don't get the hate for Connor McGovern. Like, you know how many teams would take a Connor McGovern right now? You know how many teams would? Like, literally, I would say like 17 to 18 teams in the league would take a Connor McGovern right now. Like, without a doubt. So they just have a really good offensive line. I mean, one would say they might have the best O-line in the AFC East, honestly, if everybody's healthy. So, you know, they added playmakers in the last 2 years at the running back position, the receiver position. So, yeah, it's going to be on Zach Wilson. Like, the Jets are only going as far as he can take them. And, yes, there's a gauntlet to the beginning of the season, but he has been given the weapons where he should feel comfortable to be able to make the throws and make plays down the field.
Yeah, no, so it's interesting. I think it's the Jets have the second most expensive D-line, the 5th most expensive offensive line. Like, they've invested in the trenches. They've showed
– hold on, they got the second most expensive D-line?
Yeah, I looked at it yesterday. We're talking about in the pod. They have the second most expensive defense, actually, technically, the most amount of money that's spent on their defense. It's great.
I can see like CJ.
Yes, CJ's money.
Yeah, CJ's
broke
off.
Think about it. It's Carl's at 15, yeah. JFM's at 12, Q's at 11, Rankins is at 8.
And Q ain't is due for a deal.
Yeah, so they're
then well, Rankins like, at like 8, right?
Yeah, Rankins at 8, and then Jermaine, Solomon, and Thomas, they're all at 3 or 4. It's there's a lot of money there.
Solomon getting 3 mil?
Yeah, well, none of it's guaranteed. So let's see let's see what happens if who's on the actual roster by the end of by the end of August. But you know, the thing with Zach, I think, like you mentioned, there's so much invested there that they've did what everyone's been asking for literally a decade. Give everyone no option but to know, is this the guy or is this not? And I don't need him to be Joe Burrow this year, but I certainly don't need you certainly don't want 12 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, 145 yards a game. Like you said, step in the throws. I think especially on third down in the red zone, like you mentioned, being able to use his legs, run some read option stuff. The Jets did it a little bit with Darnold, and they did a little bit with Zach, and it always worked. And it was like, I don't know why.
But they wait to the end of the year to do it.
Yeah, they wait to the end of the year. And like the Panthers did it with Sam last year early in the year, and he scored like four touchdowns, and they stopped doing it. Yeah, it's like, why did
– Crazy.
If it's working, keep doing it. I'm curious on your thoughts. So the first four games of the year, right, it's –
Who are the schedule makers? Why would they give us
four in a row? Division? It's weird. That's the weirdest the AFC part.
North, I've never seen that before.
Like, I've seen
maybe three out of the five, but never four in a row where we play straight AFC North. Like
it's weird. So the only thing I will say is yes, the schedule is hard. That said, always look at the quarterbacks you're playing because I think that's something that people never do, and it's honestly way more important than and who like when you're playing somebody like where it is and stuff. Week one is the best time that you're gonna be able to get to play Baltimore based on this version of them, only from the aspect of there's a lot of new pieces. You never know how people are going to adjust, right?
Lamar just always comes out.
Well, let's see. Lamar got COVID like 700 times last year, so let's just see if he's even available. Obviously, I'm kidding.
It's week one. It's week one.
Right, and you have to hope if you're the Jets, you come out. You've given 3 months for Robert Saleh to scheme up anyway to figure it out. Yeah. Jordan Whitehead plays a big role.
He's going to play a massive role.
Massive role.
You know that right now.
Yeah. And then you look at, you know, from an offensive perspective, you hope you give, you know, the mad scientist LaFleur a bunch of time to kind of scheme up, you know, ways to deal with their pressure and playing a bunch of cover one. And on top of that, I think being at home, it's 9/11. You hope the crowd can kind of help you out there.
I think you got to look at it too, right? Their whole secondary is coming back from injury mostly. I mean, they signed Marcus Williams.
Yeah, like how are they going to look? Everybody thought
the Jets were going to sign. But, you know, you talk about Marlon Humphrey coming off injury. You talk about Marcus, you know, Peters coming off injury. Those are their two best corners. So we'll see, you know,
this will
be their first game back.
Right, first game, you know, you have no idea what you're going to get, right? And the Ravens last year, I think of that Raiders game. I believe that was first game last year.
Yeah, they lost in overtime
in overtime. And it was like the Raiders kind of gave the blueprint of like, if you can even stifle the Ravens offense and you can keep them either behind the score or even. And you can just get the ball out of your hands and you've guys that can beat the corners over the top. Cause like, that's how you beat the Ravens. If like you're going to blitz you like that, you want to pick it up and take a shot. And,
rub routes are going to be big.
And I think the Jets, you know, they have a lot of like, again, they have really good separators with a lot of, they have three guys that run sub 4.4 on their top four guys. And Corey's not like slow.
They got four guys.
Corey
ran, I think, in the 4.4s.
Corey ran the 4.4s. If you want to throw Mims in there,
you have to throw Mims in there. Yeah, he ran sub 4.4.
Yeah. Joe Douglas is we like to call him a speed whore, receiver, but then you look at weeks 2 through 4, and this is what I've been getting frustrated with, right? Deshaun, you look at
somebody.
He might not be there.
I think that was the perfect time to get the Cleveland Browns.
Time to get them. Plus, it's not cold in Cleveland yet. Yeah. Week 3, you did beat the Bengals last year, and as good as they are, the Jets do.
They're going to be hyped for that game.
They're going to be hyped for that game, and it's going to be good for the Jets too because you're still getting them at home. You still know that Bengals offensive line might still be working through the kinks a little bit of a lot of these new players. You have no idea what you're going to get. And then week 4,
Pittsburgh
has a couple of really, really elite level guys in Minka and TJ Watt and some guys. Football is not a sport where it's like the NBA, where if you have the best player, you necessarily win. The Jets are playing either one of two quarterbacks who neither of them I'm high on at all. Pittsburgh's offensive line's not very good. Yeah, Pittsburgh's O-line's not very good. And all these different, like, Pittsburgh early in the year is not playing in Pittsburgh and, you know, in the snow and all that stuff. So why not, like, have the expectation? Can we split here? Because
I got the Jets splitting.
If you split there, you put yourself in a really nice spot because then I think Miami's week 5.
Miami's week 5.
Yeah. Why not just – I don't know. I'm not this expectation. I think Connor said it on Badlands this morning and I was laughing a little bit because I know when Connor gets fired up, he's trying so hard not to curse on it. But he was like, I'm not just going to give them the excuse to lay down and die because on paper.
Because the schedule's hard. Like, no,
you're in the NFL.
Yeah, I honestly believe that just talking to a few guys in that locker room, they feel good about, I know the schedule is a gauntlet, but they feel good about this team this year. I know everybody says that, but I honestly truly believe that they feel good with the additions they've added to this team. And they feel like they're going to surprise a lot of people. Like, like last year when they were saying that, we kind of knew it was kind of lip service because we knew it was a rebuild. And then they lost their big, you know, prize free agent acquisition and Carl Lawson, you know, before the season even started. But now this year with the, you know, the draft class that they had, the additions at the tight end position to Tyler Conklin and CJ Uzama, Jordan Whitehead, who, you know, I'm the biggest Jordan Whitehead fan. I was praying that the Jets got him. I knew when Marcus Williams deal wasn't happening, I was texting Sal. I was like, dude, to get this done. He got quiet on me. I was like, oh, they working it out. They trying to get it done. And sure enough, like, so like he texted me. He was like, well, we got him. And then the news came out right there. I was like, yes, thank God. Cause when the Jets played the Bucks last year, he was a guy that I circled. I was like, you got to know where this guy is on the field. Cause he can wreck your game in the run game. And then like people don't give enough credit cause they just call him a box safety, but they lined him up all over the place for the Bucks last year, right? He lined up in the middle of the field. He lined up at the nickel position. They lined him up on the line of scrimmage. Like, they lined him up at the linebacker position. Like, he's going to be able to do so much for the Jets. And to our point, Will, he's going to be massive week one versus the Baltimore Ravens and stopping that run game.
Think about how many quarterbacks they play. And this is the modern NFL too, so I know this is a majority of guys, but everyone in the beginning of the year runs some type of read option, some type of RPO stuff, whether it's you know, obviously Trubisky, and like that's pretty much the only reason he made a Pro Bowl that one year is because he was able to do that. Lamar, obviously, they play Josh Allen twice a year, and to some extent, Tua, like, still, like, that's a huge part of their game, and having someone that can just be disciplined. I think, and we'll talk about this obviously before the season starts, but like the key to playing Baltimore is like it's like playing the triple option. You play Navy and all these different teams. Just do your job every single play. 100%. Do not get distracted. Do not get lazy. Do not, like, if you do your job every play, it's impossible. You're going to beat them. If you don't, and you fall asleep or you fall for something, that's where we're going to have to hope Quincy Williams or whoever's going to be playing middle linebacker next to CJ Mosley can be disciplined with their eyes. But is there anywhere on this roster, we'll wrap with, I guess, with this, where you're like, I'd love to see them add one or two more guys? I know Ojinobi and Kwan are the two guys to me that, like, they make too much sense. Scheme, 100%. Age, all this stuff, right? Those are the two guys to you that stick out.
Well, I mean, like, we were talking about this in the beginning of the show, right? And you said, you know, there's another part of free agency, and I did like this, and I crossed my fingers, and you hit it on the head. The two guys that I want, Larry Ogunjobi, and I've literally been talking to this dude every other week trying to get him to come to the Jets. And I think Connor Hughes, you know, put it out there, and it's 100%. It's going to come down to is he willing to accept what the Jets offer him? I think he got screwed over by the Chicago Bears. I mean, like, you knew this dude had an injury before you brought him in and guaranteed him that contract.
It's like, a bad look for the Bears.
It's the Bears. I don't want to say, you know, give a bad rap to Ryan Poles, but that was tasteless to me. Granted, I get it. Maybe they saw the X-ray and like, oh, this is way worse than it is. But again, this man got hurt in the playoffs. Like, what did you expect? That was just a few months ago. Like, literally 2 months ago. Like, what did you expect?
People did that with Jimmy. They're like, oh, he has no value. I'm like, dude, he can't pass a physical because he just had surgery last week. He
literally just had surgery. Like, I didn't get that. That was just tasteless, man. And he was going to be the highest paid nose tackle in football. Like, I think he was getting 11 a year or something like that. Yeah. So, like, now, like, it gives every team the pause to be like, well, he didn't pass that physical, so we don't know, you know. Now the teams are probably offering him like $3 million, which it sucks, right? Because this dude is coming off 7+ sacks, and as a nose tackle, that's massive to have that type of push up the middle, right? So to me, he makes obviously the most sense. I think he'd be a perfect fit. And then Kwan, right, especially for coverage, even if he doesn't start, if Quincy starts on first and second down, on third down, you know, having a guy with Kwan's type of speed, a guy that's familiar with this defense. He played with Robert Saleh in San Francisco. Like, to me, it just makes sense. Those are the two guys. And maybe add one more safety. I know we got a whole bunch, but with, you know, Tyrann Mathieu was still being out there. I thought maybe I honestly wanted to draft one of these tier two safeties in the draft. But, you know, the Jets, you know, traded up to get Breece Hall. I thought that would have been a really good – Lewis Cine was the guy I was hoping. I think the Jets would have gotten – I know they really like Breece Hall, but I think if Lewis Cine dropped, you know, in the second round, and he went the last pick in the first round, I think the Jets would – it would have been hard-pressed for them not to take a guy like him. But maybe one safety. I don't even know who's out there still. But I think they're comfortable, you know, with the combination of – Ashton Davis. I mean, Jordan Whitehead is definitely starting. But I think they're comfortable with the combination of Ashton Davis, Will Parks, and Pinnock. One of those guys maybe filling, and even Elijah Riley, maybe one of those guys filling in at the other safety spot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I do think there's probably two or three additions here to come, and then two or three guys that look. I know this is probably going overboard, but I still think if one of these veteran receivers is still out there and you don't know what's going to happen, and I'm not buying that Denzel Mims is going to be on this roster in September. I think that's a lot. It's a lot of smoke from the same people that are very close with agents.
And I think you know they're trying to get him up there so they can trade him, man. They gotta hype up his value.
The Herndon Hive did that last year. 100% fourth round pick later. But look, I think we'll see what happens with Mims. But I would like to see them have a fifth guy. I have no idea what'll happen. Again, that's more depth, but you know, look, Elijah's got to stay healthy this year. And I will say, we'll finish with this because this is, I feel like no one's really talking about this. I think part, other than Zach, the biggest key for the Jets being good this year is getting last year's guys that showed all this potential to play and improve and not regress. I think part of the issue for last year was, it was really promising Mims and Becton, these guys were nice as rookies, and then basically gave you zero last year. And I think that's really hard. They can't have that where Elijah looks like a Pro Bowler potential guy. And if he gets to that level, now the Jets have a Pro Bowl receiver. Same thing with AVT. He's a Pro Bowl guard this year. Jets here start to be in a real nice spot, right? Michael Carter and these guys too as role players. But I want to see the 2021 guys take the step from promising rookies to legit dudes in the NFL, because that's where you'll see the Jets start to go, oh, they got some Pro Bowlers on this roster, right? Like, that's the stuff you want to see. The Bengals got that. They go, Jesse Bates is a Pro Bowler. Like, Burrow's a dude. Obviously, Jamar is nice, but, you know, obviously he's a unicorn season, but it's just those guys are the – that's kind of like what I want to finish on. It's just like, that's a key to me when no one's talking about. Like, they need to take the next step now and not just be fun young guys. They need to be contributors every week that you count on and go, I know I'm getting 7 for 75 from Elijah when he walks in the field minimum, or – you know, 80 plus PFF grade game from AVT or whatever you want to, however you want to classify it.
Yeah, 100%, right? Like, again, we talked about Zach and the biggest jump is from year one to year two. Well, we got to see that from Elijah Moore. First and foremost, we got to see him stay healthy, right? And Zach too, right? Zach missed, 4 or 5 games last year. Elijah as well. Elijah Vera Tucker, I think, missed 1 or 2 games. So you want to see them first and foremost stay healthy, and then you want to see that leap, right? You know, I've tabbed Elijah Vera Tucker as a guy that could potentially be a Pro Bowler this year or next year, right? I want to see him take that next dominant step. Like, he'll be able to learn from one of the best guards in the game, you know, Pro Bowler, Super Bowl experience, NFC Championship experience, you know, coming in there, and then Lincoln Tomlinson. So I think these two could really feed off each other and help each other, right? Elijah Vera Tucker, to me, is an athletic freak inside and dominating the run game. I want to see him take that next step as a pass protector, where he's just as dominant in the run game. I mean, as a pass protector than he is in a run game. So, you definitely want to see you know, that massive leap from year one to two from your guys, you know, especially your first and second round picks, if you talk about Zach Wilson, Elijah Moore, and Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yeah, no, I'm on the same page as you. Next week, Connor Hughes will be on. Make sure you guys follow Leje on Twitter. Obviously, I'm Athlete Weekly. I think, believe Channel 82 on Mad Dog Radio, Sirius XM. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of pretty unique content, in my opinion. You know, interviews, all these different things. So make sure you guys are tuning into that. Obviously, as the season comes around, the SNY stuff and CBS and a million other places, you'll see ESPN calling games, the whole thing. So make sure you guys are tuned in. We'll talk to you guys next week.